And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
We are going to be studying today a text from the book of 1 Thessalonians. So I invite you to go ahead and open up your Bibles now. Y'all should know by now, when I'm in the pulpit, I'm going to be referring to the text a lot. So open your Bibles and keep them open. This is on page 248 of your pew Bible. But before we read the text, I want to give some context so we can understand what is happening in this letter that Paul has written. If you're seeking extra credit, you can hold your finger in 1 Thessalonians and go to Acts 17, which is where we read about Paul's second missionary journey, where he founded the church in Thessalonica, which is an amazing word, Thessalonica. That is the city where Paul came. And scripture tells us in Acts 17 that Paul arrived on the scene, went straight to the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And Acts 17 tells us some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, who was with Paul, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But what happens next? Well, you can read that Paul was only there for 3 weeks, three Sabbaths, before the Jews that did not believe stirred up a riot so intense that Paul and Silas had to leave under cover of night. And the Christians, the Jewish converts that Paul left behind, were beginning to experience persecution. So Paul goes about 50 miles south to Berea. It's about the distance from here to Tuscaloosa. And he goes to the synagogue and begins to preach. And the Berean Jews are much more receptive. And many people start coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And the Thessalonian Jews get upset by this. So they go on down to Berea. They incite a riot so large that this time Paul and Silas have to leave and go all the way to Athens, which is the distance from about Huntsville to the coast, to Mobile. So that's how far Paul and Silas had to go away from these new baby believers to get away from the danger that was pursuing them. So as you can imagine, Paul is pretty distraught when he leaves the Thessalonian church. And so, before his second missionary journey is even over, he writes this letter to them. So we're going to read from this now with a little bit of that context in mind, that Paul is frustrated and left very suddenly. And before I read, if you are a young disciple out there and you want to try and listen for something in my sermon, here's my question for you. How can Christians share in life together? And what's the purpose of missions? So how can Christians share in life together, and what's the purpose of missions? And if you want, you can come find me after and tell me what you think. So let's read now from God's word. As for us, brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing, Paul and Silas writing, when for a short time we were made orphans by being separated from you in person, not in heart, we longed with great eagerness to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, wanted to again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our crown and glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we decided to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you for the sake of your faith, so that no one would be shaken by these persecutions. Indeed, you yourselves know that this is what we are destined for. In fact, when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we were to suffer persecution. So it turned out, as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that somehow the tempter had tempted you and that our labor had been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He has told us also that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, just as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers and sisters, during all our distress and persecution, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For we now live if you continue to stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you hear how strongly Paul feels about this group of Christians that he has only spent 3 weeks with? Paul uses very strong language to talk about these brothers and sisters in the faith, and we're going to talk about that, why he does that this morning. Y'all have heard this morning we have kicked off our global witness season, our emphasis week. We've got stuff going on all week, and here's why. We know that Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations. So if we are in Christ, then everyone has been commanded and invited into this disciple-making work around the world. And so our theme for this year that our team came up with is mutual encouragement. And we got that from Psalm 133 that we just had sung for us. How beautiful it is when kindred live in unity. How pleasant it is when brothers and sisters in Christ dwell in unity. There's so many different translations. Through Jesus Christ, we are united with Christians all throughout the world who even now gather in the Lord's name to worship the one true living God. We are united with Christians in places where it's illegal to worship Jesus. We are united right now with Christians who live their lives constantly in danger. And we are united to Christians who have come before us and saints that have gone on to glory. It's beautiful, God's word tells us, when God's people live in unity. And so I want us to look at this amazing passage from 1 Thessalonians that gives us insight into Paul's heart for believers that he was separated from. He has a lot to say about encouraging one another, no matter the distance, no matter the circumstances that might separate them. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul tells us that the body of Christ is made up of lots of different members, but one body. That is that unity that we're looking for. So the first thing I want us to see from our text this morning is that the body of Christ longs for each other, longs to be with one another. And Paul uses strong language to show this, right? In 2:17, he says, we were made orphans when we were separated from each other. He says they were completely cut off, and this was extremely distressing to him. And then, later in 2:17, he says, we longed with great eagerness. And here's what's really interesting about what Paul says. This word that he uses to say how much he longed to be with these Thessalonian Christians, it's the same word he uses throughout all his other letters to describe the fleshly desire of lust. Because this word doesn't have a negative connotation necessarily, but what it means is this intense desire. This desire Paul has for connection to be with the other Christians. That's how desperately he wants to be with them. And Paul says that he wants to come to them again and again. He tries over and over. But what? Satan blocks his way. And this is interesting as well. Paul has chosen to say that Satan has blocked his way. I mean, y'all know Paul. He's very quick to say, oh, you know, the Lord is the one who put a thorn in my side. And the Lord is the one who wanted me to depend on him and his strength in my weaknesses. You know, the Lord's providence is what orchestrated this. But here, he says that Satan blocked his way. Why is that? Well, A lot of scholars agree that what Paul is saying is that by being separated from the Thessalonian church at this stage and not being able to get back to them, this is a real hindrance to the gospel advancing. So Paul is saying that this was not a good thing, that they would be separated. Can you feel Paul's agony? And when you read Acts and you hear about how he was separated so suddenly and so harshly, you know why he's struggling. This was a little unexpected, even if he knew persecution was coming. And he just felt like it was cut off. It makes me think of how my youngest Ruthie, if y'all know her, she's one, and she's really cute, obviously, but she also loves to snuggle and has kind of a tender-hearted soul that doesn't like to be separated from me or from Court. And so recently, she has cried when we drop her off at the nursery at church, or it's actually gotten to the point when one of our babysitters walks in the door, she just starts crying, like just walks in the house, and Ruthie just starts crying. It's very distressing to me as a mom. I don't like leaving her. Sometimes she'll just see Katja and Karen coming down the hall and just kind of get this grumpy face, like, "What are you about to hand me off to them, Mom?" She really does not like being separated, and when she does, she just cries and cries and cries. And this passage tells us that Paul feels like Ruthie does when she is separated from us. Paul's not saying the Thessalonian Christians were his mothers and fathers in the faith. They were new believers. But he is comparing this agony that he had of being separate from them to the equivalent of my one-year-old with separation anxiety being taken away from her parents against her will. Isn't that strong language? Paul longs to be back with these believers. And this is what he's talking about. And so one of the reasons that we have our mission partners come and we have guest preachers and speakers at South Highland is that so even if you in the pews can't physically go to the mission field, you can hear stories of faithful Christians, you can get to know them, and frankly, so you can just simply long to be in their lives, to have that desire to be drawn to other believers, because this is how God designed us. Do we feel this level of intense longing to even be with our own Christian community? Do we feel cut off and separated like orphans when we can't gather together as the body of Christ? You know, Ancestry.com is really doing well, and there are all these DNA tests that you can take now that'll tell you, you know, where you come from, and if you have any relatives that have also taken the test that are pretty distant. So I think it's kind of like, imagine that you take this test and you find out that you have long-lost cousins who live, I don't know, in Scotland or in Sweden or something. And so you realize, oh, they have my same last name. This is kind of cool. I feel a kinship with them. And you reach out and you start exchanging emails and texts and phone calls and pictures. And you realize, wow, we kind of look alike. And what's the next logical step? You want to go to meet them, right? You want to go to see them and just sort of experience whatever this weird pull you have. You didn't know these people. They were strangers before. But you have this weird pull because there's a shared DNA, shared blood. And if you are in Christ, we have shared blood with believers all over the world. We are connected by the blood of Christ to believers in Iran who are worshiping in secret right now. We are connected by the blood of Christ to people, to Christians who are on the front lines of Ukraine serving each other communion right now. This is a shared DNA and a beautiful resemblance, a family resemblance to Christ. And if you don't have this strong longing that I'm talking about, that's fine. Just start by being curious. Pray for the missionaries that our church supports, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, this curiosity will fan into a flame that will be fierce enough to compel you to go or to equip you, for you to equip others to go. and encourage others to be able to make these connections and these friendships and these partnerships. And so that's the first thing that I hope we see from this text, the deep longing desire that the body of Christ has to be with one another. But the body of Christ also shares with each other. So if you look at this text in a very literal sense, Paul shares Timothy, right? In verse 1 of chapter 3, Paul says, "We decided to be left alone in Athens." So Paul is in Athens during his second missionary journey, and Acts 17 talks about this. This is Paul's famous speech on Mars Hill, if you're familiar with that. And Paul lets Timothy go, risks Timothy's life to go to the Thessalonians because he just couldn't stand it anymore. So in a very literal sense, he shares a worker on his team, right? He shares a teammate. But I hope you hear in this text and you see that the big thing that they're sharing is suffering, right? That's just like an undertone of the whole section of this letter. In 3 verse 7, you can see how Paul talks about sharing in their suffering. Paul looks to the Thessalonians, sees how they're being persecuted, and how their faith in the midst of persecution brings them joy. In verse 4, Paul says, you know, we talked about this. We talked about persecution. He only had 3 weeks with them, y'all, and he had already talked about persecution is coming. Why did he do this already off the bat? Well, because the teachings of Jesus were that there will be persecution, right? In John 15, Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you. But if you don't belong to the world, know that I have chosen you out of the world, and that's why the world hates you. Jesus taught over and over again to his disciples, so much so that it was one of the first things that Paul says out of the gate when he is evangelizing, is that you will share in the sufferings of Christ. And so we have to ask, what in the world do we have in common with Christians who are suffering all over the world? And the reality is that most of us in this room, if not all of us, will never know the danger of gathering together in corporate worship that our brothers and sisters experience. Because we live in America. We're just not going to know the danger of simply gathering. But we follow a crucified Lord, which means that all of us will face some sort of pushback or frustration or persecution at some point in our lives. We just will. It's promised. When Court and I visited the Iranian Christians in Germany last year, they really just wanted to hear stories about our lives, about how we struggled to raise our children in an increasingly secular world, how we knew what it was like to lose loved ones to disease or tragedy, and what it was about our lives that forced us to our knees to pray and to depend on the Lord. And that was really humbling for us. Court and I were like, I'm pretty sure none of what we're going to describe is anything like what y'all have been through. And yet, they wanted to be encouraged just by knowing even American Christians face suffering and persecution in different ways, but we're in this together. This is that mutual encouragement that we talk about, that built up a beautiful fellowship. And look at what Paul says in verse 8. This is so good. Paul says he lives because what? Because the Thessalonians stood firm in their faith. And so that's the other thing that Christians share, that the body of Christ shares. We share in the faith. What encouraged Paul most, what gave him life, according to this text, was that the faith of the Thessalonians stood firm in the midst of persecution. In 3 verse 2, it says, Timothy was sent to strengthen and encourage what? The faith. In 3 verse 6, Timothy brought good news of what? Your faith. In 3 verse 7, Paul says, we've been encouraged about you through what? Your faith. And in 3:10, Paul says, one of the reasons we want to get back together with you so bad is so that we can restore whatever is lacking in what? your faith. Do y'all see what this means? That there is something about Paul's personal faith in Jesus Christ that has been influenced and encouraged by the personal faith of these Thessalonians that he only knew for 3 weeks. Paul only knew them for 3 weeks, and yet he is saying that his personal faith in Jesus Christ is affected by their faith in Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. This is pretty remarkable. And so it makes us ask, how has somebody in this room, how has the faith of someone in this room actually helped you love Jesus more? That's what it means to live in Christian community. And y'all, I'm looking out, I see a lot of faces, and I know a lot of stories of suffering and hardship. And seeing y'all cling to Jesus in those moments helps me love Jesus more. And so if you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I genuinely don't know if I can think of a time that someone in my Christian community has helped me love Jesus more just by enduring in the faith, then I want you to come talk to me or one of the pastors or the elders, because we would love to help you get more plugged in so that you can live into this community that will affect your personal faith in Jesus Christ. And so here's one more question of challenge. If we're asking that, then here's the next question. How has the faith of somebody else across the world that you maybe never met, how has their faith in Jesus Christ, how have they helped you love Jesus more? I hope that this text stirs up something in you, stirs up a hunger to know the ways that people around the world are loving Jesus despite crazy, ridiculous circumstances. Because when we see people around the world in the most insane ways clinging to Jesus against all odds, it helps us cling to Jesus. It helps us know, okay, we can still have faith in Jesus Christ when our world is falling down around us. This is mutual encouragement that is united with believers all over the place. And so to this end, Paul ends this section of the letter with a prayer. So the body of Christ longs to be together. The body of Christ shares together. But the body of Christ also prays for each other. And that is how we stay connected with people around the world, above all else, is in prayer. And so in verses 11 through 13, you can kind of pick out, it's sort of a list. Paul prays for four things. And y'all, this is a great outline for how to pray for our missionaries. First, the Lord's direction and whether or not Paul was supposed to connect. May the Lord direct my path back to you. Then second, abound in love. May you abound in mutual love just as we have for not just you and yourselves, but for everybody around you. And then three, that the Lord would strengthen your hearts in holiness. And four, that you would hope in the return of Christ and be presented blameless before him. And so I don't know if y'all have seen this, but our Global Witness team has put out bookmarks. I think you can get them out there around, and we'll probably be passing them out again next week. But these bookmarks have a list of the missionaries that we as a church officially support. And if you don't know where to start, I would just encourage you to take that bookmark and pray these four things for these missionaries. So here's an example. We've got a woman named Pam who we support, and she is in a place that I can't say from the pulpit, serving a group of people I can't speak of from the pulpit because it would endanger her ministry. And so here's what we can pray for Pam. We can say, Lord, direct my way to Pam. And are you calling me to go to her? How are you calling me to connect with her, to encourage her? Is this someone that I should connect with? Help me abound in love for her. Help her love for her people that she's serving to abound in love. Or here's another way that we could think of it. Right now, Jim Truesdell, who we have sent out through Frontier Fellowship, and we support a lot of his partnerships, he is in Pakistan with Tom Boone, who's going to be preaching next week, and they are trying to make new connections. So here's what we can pray for our friend Jim. Lord, help strengthen the heart of Jim Truesdell and Tom Boone in holiness right now as they meet with people in Pakistan. Lord, make Jim and Tom and their companions blameless before you on the day when you return and give them hope in that final day. You see how I just took the text, the prayer that Paul prayed, and I'm praying this for our missionaries. Because this type of mutual friendship, encouragement between two different groups of Christians is so beautiful and so pleasing to the Lord. We should long to be a part of it. And I want you to see finally in chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says to these companions, "You are our glory and joy and our crown of boasting before the Lord at his coming." Y'all, there is a day coming when Jesus will return and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of the whole earth. And Paul says that we will be able to point to these relationships we have with other Christians, with disciples that we have made and disciples that we have equipped others to make, and we will be able to say, "This is our crown and our joy and our glory in your presence, King Jesus." And so that's the body of Christ. We long for each other, we share life with each other, and we pray for each other. But we do it with a very intentional purpose as we work towards this day. And I'll end with this. Y'all, we mutually encourage other believers in God's family for the sole purpose of growing God's family. Missions is about longing to be with other people and longing to invite other people into God's family. Missions is about inviting others to share in Christ's suffering. Right off the bat, within a very short time of meeting them, we're inviting them to share in Christ's sufferings. How's that for a sales pitch? And missions is about working towards that final day when God's kingdom will fully unite with this kingdom of earth. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now and ask him to help us with these things. Let's pray. King Jesus, we are so grateful that you have given us this mission, Lord, that you have set this call on our hearts. And so I pray that we would long to be with other believers, Lord, in a spiritual way that only your Holy Spirit can fan the flame. God, I pray that you would show us how to share in our faith with other believers that we may never meet. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to be thoughtfully in prayer for other believers all over the world. Lord, we long to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray all of this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.